Question, what am I? Is, am I prepared? And the second thing we can ask ourselves, if I'm not prepared, am I a Pharisee? So we're going to just explore these two things today. Am I prepared or am I a Pharisee? So in today's passage, after Christ calls Levi, the tax collector, to follow him, in verse 27, Levi answers Christ's call. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. So why do I ask the question, am I prepared? The answer is that you have to assume that Levi could not have made such a radical decision without being somehow prepared. Somehow he had led himself up to this moment to prepare for Christ to call him and for him to answer that call, leave everything and follow him. So the church fathers say that it's possible that Levi was one of the tax collectors that were baptized by John the Baptist. So in Luke chapter 3 verse 12 it says, then the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed to you. So up to this point where Levi had this one-on-one encounter with Christ, it is possible that Levi had prepared himself in this way, in listening to the commandments of John and telling him, collect more than, no more than what is due to you. But it's also possible that he struggled with the commandment. It's possible that he heard these words of St. John the Baptist telling him, like, well, his whole life he's been collecting more than he is asked to collect, and his whole life he's maybe lived in an ungodly way, taking money from people who maybe don't have money, but he attempted to listen to the words of John the Baptist, and maybe he struggled with this commandment that John the Baptist gave him. So whichever way, he had been attempting to listen to the words of John the Baptist and try and do as John the Baptist told him to do, to prepare for the time when Christ would call him. So it was when Levi was approached by Christ that he was completely sure of this decision. He could not have been completely sure of this decision to leave everything up in his life and follow Christ if he had not been prepared to this point. So this was a completely life-changing step, and who of us will make a life-changing step in our life without being completely prepared or without having complete faith or complete courage? So it was a testament to Levi that he heeded the words of St. John the Baptist and began the path of preparing himself for the moment when he would be called. And eventually we see his reward in heaven and reward on earth as well, in that he became St. Matthew the Gospel Writer. So from the tax collector that everyone spat on and hated to being one of our greatest saints in the church. So the next logical step after examining the story of Levi is to ask, how do I prepare myself? So the simple answer is, we can do as Levi did. And that was firstly to heed the words of Christ, although he had John the Baptist, and telling us to seek him. And secondly, to be sure of the things we are taught and to be proud of our faith. So if we remain diligent in our prayer and our teachings of Christ, then we can be sure that Christ will call us. And when that call comes, we will be prepared. So this is the first way I want to maybe discuss a bit on how we can be prepared, is to be diligent in spiritual practices, especially with prayer, just as Levi attempted to be diligent in his commandment. So how can we be prepared to follow Christ if we do not know Christ? And how can we know Christ without speaking to Christ? And we know that speaking to Christ is done through prayer. So Christ wants us to approach him as we, God willing, pray every day in Psalm 51 in Magdalene, we say, with a broken and contrite heart. This is the way that God wants us to approach him. We have to approach him broken and contrite. Everyone expects that those who are spiritually strong, they will never be broken. But Christ calls us to be broken in front of the Lord. I was listening to a sermon by a Catholic priest one time, and it said something that really touched my heart. He said, in prayer, you have to present yourself naked in front of the Lord. So a lot of us, obviously, like I struggle a lot with prayer, and when we struggle with prayer, we think, oh, why do I have to kneel down and read my Igbaya? Why do I have to have this strict rule that everyone has told me? But I think prayer is more communication with Christ. And communication with Christ, I'm not saying that's not using Igbaya, but we have to have a conversation with Christ as our Father, as we're taught. And the only way we can do this is if we're honest with him. How can we expect Christ to touch us if we're sitting there in front of him saying, like, Lord, I really want to be here praying in front of you? No, like, sometimes we're tired, sometimes we can't be bothered praying, but sometimes we give that up and we lie in front of Christ and we say, Lord, I really am tired. Lord, I am really broken. Lord, I am struggling with this sin, but Lord, I need you to come fix me. So we have to present ourselves. How can we prepare ourselves for Christ if we don't prepare him in an honest way? Nothing preparation-wise comes in dishonest ways. You can't be dishonest in preparation. So in order to be honest in preparation, we have to be honest in prayer with God. So God is not going to reject us. As we saw, Levi openly told him, I'm a tax collector. I take more than what is due to me. Yet Christ called him and said, you are the person that I want. Like, he didn't present himself before him as a Pharisee, say, Lord, I pray every day. Lord, I go to the church every day. No, he presented himself broken with a contrite heart before God. So pour out your heart to the Lord And I guess it's easy to view God as that kind of dictator in the sky and forget that he was also a human who walked on earth and wept with us. So to prepare ourselves in front of the Lord, we have to show him who we are, as weak and in need of his grace. Levi invited him into his house with a feast. So I urge myself to humble myself and ourselves in prayer and admit that I find it difficult to pray and to overcome certain sins. Something Bob Schuller said in one of his sermons was that we must take blessings from God in prayer. We don't sit there waiting to receive. We have to take blessings from God in prayer and not leave prayer until we take this blessing. So make an effort. Stay consistent in our prayer. It's not always easy, but there is a reward. As Levi was diligent, as Levi sat there every night in front of the Lord trying to prepare himself, Christ blessed him with being the great Saint Matthew. So God willing, tonight we can kneel before God, communicate with him, get to know him, so that when he makes the call, follow me, we can be prepared. We can show ourselves honest before the Lord. The second way we can prepare ourselves, as Levi did, is we must have courage and be confident in our faith. In front of his fellow tax collectors and the Pharisees, Levi had every right to say, just, I invited the Lord, and this is what I'm going to make you dinner, and that's about it. But he had every right to be embarrassed in front of the fellow tax collectors, in front of the Pharisees, to not admit that he was a follower of the Christ. Because if you think about it in the context, like, it wasn't the smartest thing to say you're a follower of the Christ, because at that time, everyone thought that Christ was crazy. So to be a follower with him, you'd be even more crazy. So it was not an easy thing for him to get up in front of everyone and say, I'm going to follow Christ. So he knew what he was following was right. Something I heard from a celibate priest in America called Father Paul Anthony is that we are urged to be independent thinkers. Instead of looking to our friends or to pop culture to get our answers, we have to ask ourselves the hard questions and ask yourself if you truly are bold enough to be who you are and to believe in what we believe in. It really does take courage to be different. It really does. And the only way to have courage to stand out is to know and to believe in what you're right with the utmost conviction. So if you look at, like, kind of the core of your faith, like, why are we coming here every Sunday? Why do we pray at night? If you kind of examine yourself to that depth, why? You have to ask this question. We have to know that it's black and white. It's either we follow Christ or we don't follow Christ. And if we're going to follow him, why follow him half-heartedly? Why follow him in a dishonest way? So if we're going to be here, if we're going to come here every Sunday, if we're going to dedicate our hours in prayer to the Lord, why not do that full-heartedly, how the Bible teaches us? So Christ really wants us to present ourselves honest in a courageous way. So this is what Levi showed. Surrounded by people who would condemn his decision to follow Christ and were already judging him, he made a bold and sure decision. What a gift from God to have this kind of conviction. We have to do this in the least, and in the least scenarios in our lives. We have to not be ashamed. Levi's reward for not being ashamed in front of these people and confessing Christ was that he became Saint Matthew. Not just this, but perhaps the fellow tax collectors that were with him, that may have been baptized with him when John the Baptist baptized them, well, maybe they were not as prepared. Maybe they had not prepared themselves in that way, not to collect more than they had to collect. But his courage in front of them and in front of the Lord perhaps gave them the courage. Who knows, maybe all those tax collectors became Christians because of the courage of Levi. Maybe everyone else was not as courageous as him, not as sure as him. But because of his courage, others were given courage. So I think we, like, take knowledge in that and know that when we are courageous, others won't condemn us and spit up, they may. And that is a blessing from Christ. But more likely than not, people look at courage. People are looking for strong people in the world. And when we show this courage, that's when we receive the blessings. So Matthew, who was Levi, says in Christ says in his gospel, says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven. This is both a sure promise and a stern warning from God. We have to understand the magnitude of denying Christ, but also the blessings in confessing his name. When we confess his name, he will confess us before his Father in heaven. And again, if we're approaching our faith full-heartedly, and we want to reach that point in heaven when Christ confesses it before his Father, then we will be honest in this courage. So, I have a bit of a story. I treated a girl in year 12 maths, and I went to her house, and she's a young Greek girl, and she asked me, oh, what'd you do on the weekend? And I wouldn't say I did anything crazy, but I wouldn't say that I went to church. Or I'd go on Saturday and say, what'd you do last night? I wouldn't say that I went to youth meeting. I was like, oh yeah, it was just a quiet night. And there's a priest that I was with, Father Mark, and I was a bit ashamed that I did that. And Father Mark never gets angry. And I was in the car with him, and he goes, what do you mean? What do you mean you didn't tell me you went to youth meeting? What do you mean you didn't tell me you were at church on Sunday? And he was really angry. Like, it's a very serious thing to not be proud of what we do. what is the point of just keeping my faith to myself? What is the point of me going to church and like being ashamed in front of people? So to my surprise, the next time, he urged me the next time to go to not be ashamed. So the next time I went, it was just after Easter this year. And she was like, they're Greek, so I was like, if it's Sonesti, like, oh, you know Greek, whatever, I'm so Sonesti. And I was asking about their service, like, oh yeah, we just go halfway to the Orthodox Church and then we hear the priest say some Greek stuff, we don't understand and we leave. And so I started talking about our church, and I don't know, you guys know St. Mark's, we have the thunder and lightning, and it gets a bit crazy. And I was explaining that to her, and she's like, oh wow, that sounds like really cool and traditional, and I really want to come. And then I started explaining to her things about youth meeting, and how we have like a few CDs that we produce in the church. She's like, oh, that's really cool. So I'm sitting there thinking that as soon as I mention something about Christ, this girl's going to like, oh, I think, oh, this guy's a loser. Like, why? Why do I allow myself to think? Why do I deny her the opportunity to find out about Christ? So we have to look at it both sides, not just not be ashamed, have pride in our faith, and know that Christ will touch the hearts of the people that we reach out to. You'll never be at detriment for confessing the Lord. And not just in detriment, you'll be blessed. So we have to take courage in this fact. So God willing, the next time my faith is questioned, I can stand up tall for Christ, like St. Peter, like St. Stephen, and like St. Paul, and prepare myself to receive my blessing in heaven when I hear Christ's call, follow me. So these are the two ways we can be prepared. So being diligent in my prayer, presenting myself as naked before the Lord and showing him my weakness, and the other way we can be prepared is to show courage and not be ashamed of our faith, to be proud of our faith and let others take the blessings of our faith. So that is our first question, was, is am I prepared? When we ask ourselves, what am I? We can kind of see now how, there are multiple ways we can prepare, but they're the two I picked from Levi's story. The second question we have to ask ourselves is, am I a Pharisee? So this is kind of the opposite side of the coin. Verse 30 of today's passage says, and their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Am I a Pharisee? It's very easy to go through the Gospels and point the finger, but I learned from a servant in our church to always point the finger at myself. So when I see, and the scribes and Pharisees mocked the Lord, and the scribes and Pharisees said this to the Lord, and the scribes and Pharisees set support to test the Lord, I always have to think, when do I test the Lord? When do I do the things that the Pharisees do? How easy it is to point the finger at them and not say, when do I do it? For example, in Mark chapter 3, there's a story of when Christ heals the man, like he was missing a hand. And it says the Pharisees saw how they might test him. So, alright, we do that sometimes. Sometimes we have doubts and we think, how is God going to help me here? Is he really helping me in this situation? And then a miracle happened before their eyes. So what happened was, Christ healed the man and his arm was fully restored. And then directly after the man was fully restored in front of their eyes, the Pharisees, they saw how they might seek to destroy him. So immediately after a miracle was performed in front of their eyes, the first thing they tried to do was doubt. How often do we do that? How many miracles does Christ do in our lives that we do not recognize? How often will we pray for something really hard, God will give it to us, we'll be really thankful for 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks later we'll completely forget. And we're just looking for the next opportunity to doubt the Lord. So let us not be Pharisees. Let us not be only looking at the outside and not only like wanting things from God and not thanking him for it. Let us recognize the miracles that God does in our lives. So how often in the church also will I look at someone and say, I know this person is a horrible person, how can you sit here next to me in the same pew? I'm a righteous person. How many times we do that subconsciously? I do that all the time. And we're subconsciously judging people. Something I struggle with a lot, and Christ pointed out as a major flaw in the community of all throughout Paul's epistles, is this issue of judging and this mentality. We have to defeat it as a community if we are to be accepted by the Lord. If Christ is to call us and we are to follow him and we are to be accepted, then we have to get rid of this mentality of judgment. If I were to ask you, say a bit of a hypothetical situation, who's the gym more important for? Is the gym more important for an extremely obese person, or is it more important for Arnold Schwarzenegger? Obviously for the extremely obese person. That person needs to get fit and needs to be in the gym so he can remain healthy and live a longer life. So, by the same token, who is the church more important for? Is the church not more important for the sinner that's out on the street, the non-Christian? Is the church not more important than for him than for one of Paul? Or like, you know what I mean? Not important for one of Paul as well. But, you get the gist. But also, in the same analogy, if, say, I went to the gym and I have no idea what I'm doing, usually, any of you gym junkies will know that when you go to the gym, usually like the bigger people will like to come and like tell you like they know what they're doing. So that's the idea. The bigger people in the gym will help people maybe who haven't had much experience. And that's the same exact mentality that we should have in the church. Like, if you like have been here for a while and maybe you're a bit more spiritually set, then when you look down the aisle and you see someone that had maybe just come from church, maybe he's a drug addict or maybe he's an alcoholic, we don't look at him and think, oh, I'm better than him. We look at him like a bigger person look at someone small in the gym and think, how can I help him? How can I make him grow in the church so that we're all one community? That's the attitude that Christ wants us to come with, to not be Pharisees, to not only care about the outward appearance. So just as the gym is more important for fat people than extremely fit people, the church is much more important for sinners than for saints. But we are all sinners, and if we continue to remember that, then we will not always be a Pharisee. So Jesus in answer said to these Pharisees who were judging Levi, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So St. Bede said, it is a pleasure to remember, beloved, to what a height of justice the Lord fetched Matthew, whom he chose out of his tax collecting activities, in order to increase for sinners the hope for forgiveness. That's another beautiful way we can look at these people who maybe are not at the same spiritual level as we are, or not been in the church for as long. Increase for sinners their hope for forgiveness. If Christ can forgive this man, can he not forgive you of what you think are lesser sins? If this man is forgiven in front of the Lord, doesn't that make you so much more forgiven? So take courage in the fact that these people are coming to church. Invite these people to church so that you have a greater opportunity to be saved. These people are our salvation. So we cannot be stubborn like the nation of Israel, which is what Christ is talking about when with that whole story at the end about the wine and the wineskins. What are some ways we are Pharisees other than being stubborn? We do this when we restrict our Christianity to Sundays or to church. So often, like, we'll come to church on the Sunday, but during the week we'll forget about God. Or we'll come to a Bible study, then we'll leave. We'll come to Bible study for the hangout, and then we'll leave and forget about God. Always in the Gospels, it talks about the Pharisees caring about the outside of the dish instead of the inside of the dish. And I think we do the same when we restrict God to Sundays, when we restrict God to a Bible study. Why are we restricting God? Why is not God always the forefront of our mind? So if we want to be a Pharisee, we have to, if we restrict Christ, they only care about the outward appearance. They can only appreciate the outward experience. So how do we expect God to appreciate our inward, because that's what God will look at. When we come to that final day, God will look at the inside. And how do we expect him to look at the inside if we are only caring about the outside? If we come only on a Sunday and we come only to a hangout and we do not feed the inside of our spirituality? So there's a bit of story about, that's just an analogy. So everyone inside of them has, say there's two lines. The one you feed more is the one that will grow bigger. So inside us, we have a spiritual line and a worldly line. So obviously if we're doing things of the world, always feeding that worldly line, then the spiritual line will never win a battle between the two. So if we're always constantly doing worldly practice and then just on Sunday we'll remember the Lord, then always like we're going to give in to our worldly practices rather than our spiritual practices. But if we invest a lot more time into our spiritual practices, then it will just become so much easier to follow that the spirituality, to follow that path of righteousness, to enter that narrow gate. And that's why it's called the narrow gate, because it's tough to initially feed that spiritual line instead of the worldly line. So let us not be resistant to change. Let us not, like Israel, think, oh, our old ways are better than the new. We have to take on the new way. So let us examine ourselves and let us take out the Pharisee from within us and present ourselves prepared before the Lord when he makes the call, follow me. And as St. Ambrose says about Levi, yes, he left that shameful seat to walk totally in the footsteps of the Lord with his mind. It doesn't matter what state you are in or what people think of you. Everyone around Levi judged him and saw him as a tax collector. But in his heart, he was prepared. He was sure. That's what God looks at, the heart. So don't use your current state of sin as an excuse not to approach Christ. In fact, it is in this state of sin that Christ finds us and pulls us out of. So let us approach the Lord in prayer. Let us present ourselves naked before him. Let us build a relationship with him and let us be courageous and confess him, so that when Christ calls us, we may be blessed to answer the question, what am I? With the response, I am prepared, O Lord. So that we might leave everything, rise up, and follow him. Glory be to God forever.
Just some announcements quickly while we have everyone. Tonight there's a young couples meeting, or all couples meeting.